We are going to speak to Gideon Bromberg, and Gideon is the Israeli director of an organization called Echo Peace Middle East. And as I said, it is, well, let's talk to Gideon and find out.
Shalom, Gideon. How are you?
Shalom. Great to be on the call here.
Finally, Gideon, finally. I've only tried to get you on air for the past 4 or 5 months. Great.
It's happening, and I'm so happy to be speaking to a South African audience. This is wonderful.
Am I picking up a South African accent?
Not even a little bit. An Australian accent.
Alright, and yeah, that was Gideon, and that was the last that we heard of Gideon, because next thing he's going to want to tell us about wombat and cricket scores.
Right. No, Israeli born. So
there you go. Gideon, talk to us about Echo Peace. Tell us when you began, what do you do, and how do you operate in such an unbelievably, what's the word I'm looking for, a pressure cooker environment?
So it is tough. Thank you, Simon. So Echo Peace is really unique. We're the only organization that exists in any field that brings together Israelis, Palestinians, and Jordanians under a single roof. And we do that in the name, as our sort of name suggests, ecology and peace. I had the privilege to co-found the organization 25 years ago. I asked a question while doing a master's in law, whether peace was going to be good for the environment. This was during the heyday of the peace process in the mid-1990s. And my thesis concluded that there was some lip service to protect the environment, but only that. And one of the conclusions of my thesis was that, well, perhaps if Israelis and Palestinians and Jordanians, and at that time also Egyptians, could get together and create a single organization, an NGO, we could put the issue on the political agenda. And indeed, several months later, I raised a little bit of money and organized the first meeting ever of environmentalists from the region. And on the second day of our meeting, Echo Peace was created. But sadly, peace that we were hoping for and praying for did not break out. And within a few years, we basically had a discussion whether we need to close ourselves down or reinvent ourselves. And we decided that actually, over these 4 or 5 years of operation, we were an example of what peace is. Israelis, Palestinians, Jordanians, by that time the Egyptians were no longer with us. The Mubarak government at that time closed their offices in Cairo. But we still remained operating out of our office in Tel Aviv, an office in Ramallah, an office in Amman, 3 directors, a single board. And we really came to see, well, we're an example of how to make peace, how we take an issue of common concern, broadly speaking, our environment, but more specifically water. That has been the focus of the work of Echo Peace over much of the last 25 years. Water is very scarce. It's very scarce for you in South Africa as well. But in our case, water also, all of our shared water resources cross international borders. And that necessitates cooperation. And that's been the work of Echo Peace as a trailblazer in environmental peacemaking. Working at the community level with kids in schools, developing curriculum with teachers and principals, learning about my water reality and my neighbor's water reality. And most importantly, the interconnected nature of that water reality, that we're dependent on each other, that working on the environment is not a privilege. It's not doing a favor. It must happen out of necessity. That, if we don't work together, we are already losers and will remain losers. But if we can work together on these issues, on improving basic water supply issues, on getting the sewage out of our shared groundwater and shared streams, that we can actually improve something on the ground that's very visual, that people can witness, that people can see shared benefits. The other half of our programming is policy-based, and at Echo Peace we write a lot of reports. We bring together experts, again, from our 3 countries to author the reports together. be it on climate change, be it on the need to rehabilitate the River Jordan or save the Dead Sea. And quite uniquely, we have joint fact-finding. So we come to really delve in and ask the hard questions that go beyond the superficial of the blame game, and generally find that we all have responsibility, and that we all have steps. It might not be the same responsibility, but there are always steps needed from each side if we're to improve the situation on the ground. And the combination of sort of bottom-up peace-building efforts at the community level with the top-down policy work has led to tremendous results.
Give me an example, Gidon. Like what?
So we're responsible for changing policies to allow fresh water to flow again from the Sea of Galilee to the lower River Jordan. For 49 years, it was the policy of the government of Israel that no fresh water would leave the Sea of Galilee, because water was needed for legitimate reasons, but also the water would be seen as wasted or empowering the enemy if it was to continue to flow down the river, because it became further downstream as the international border, and you know, would be taken by the other side. Through our joint programming, we raised awareness that that's a lose-lose situation, that in addition, we all have the responsibility to get the sewage out of the River Jordan. And we helped leverage funding to build a sewage treatment plant on the Palestinian side in Jericho, on the Jordanian side in the north of the valley, on the Israeli side near the Sea of Galilee, where it was nothing but raw sewage flowing down the Jordan. We still have a lot of sewage to get out, but the precedent is there. Fresh water, some fresh water is finally flowing, and some of the sewage is finally coming out.
I just ask you a question about what you have personally learnt from working on this project? What were the perceptions that challenged for you and that have changed for you?
So, you know, this is not a project. This has been a life endeavor.
Right.
This organization has been my life for the last 25 years. And what I've learned is that peace is possible, that we do have a partner on each side, that at the community level, people are desperate for change. People want to see a difference, and people understand that that difference will only eventuate if we change our mindsets. Now, that's really important for me to say that, because at the big level, at the political level, when I read the newspapers every morning, of course I'm very depressed. But I see a different reality. You know, I speak with the politicians on all sides, including the international community. But I also speak with school kids, with school principals, with, you know, your average residents who happen to suffer from living near a stream that's full of sewage. And, I hear their call. I hear their willingness. I hear their openness. I hear their desperation that they want to work with the other side, that they want a better life for themselves, with an understanding that will only eventuate if there's also a better life for their neighbors as well.
Amazing.
Good to hear that, Gidon. I mean, just this week I was reading an article about a Palestinian who had saved some Israeli in the West Bank following a shooting, and apparently was completely ostracized by the society in which he lives. And I just thought, under those circumstances, maybe there wasn't the space for an organization such as yours to operate effectively across borders and cultures. And you're telling me that is not the case.
So it's not the case, because our programs are designed, by design, they're built with the notion to help people defend themselves. Because every time you have a joint Israeli-Palestinian-Jordanian event, you can be guaranteed that the people participating, the people that might speak to the media, will be condemned the next day by certain members of their communities. It might not be the majority, but they're the most vocal. And therefore, the strength of working at the environmental level, working on water, is that people are empowered. People are better, are best equipped to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm not a traitor. How dare you? I'm improving. I'm getting more water supplied to my community. You know, for Palestinian residents, it's about, you know, gaining Palestinian water rights.
Yeah, Gibran, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we actually have to let you go now because we've got news at 5 o'clock. So literally, but you know what? We would love to get you on again and actually, you know, continue the conversation. And I love that you've been doing this for 25 years. And I love that you have brought Palestinians and Israelis together so that you get to know one-on-one on a human level, not take the political level, take the politicians out of this, because that is the only way that it's going to work. So thank you very, very much. And wish you a wonderful week. Shavua Tov.